Our reading today comes from Judges. Let us listen for the word of God. After this, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Coax him and find out what makes his strength so great, and how we may overpower him, so that we may bind him in order to subdue him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes your strength so great, and how you could be bound so that one could subdue you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that are not dried out, then I shall become weak and be like everyone else." The lords of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not dried out, and she bound him with them. While men were laying in wait in an inner chamber, she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a strand of fiber snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times now and have not told me what makes your strength so great." Finally, after she had nagged him, and with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." When Delilah realized that he had told her his whole secret, she sent out a call for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "This time come up, for he has told his whole secret to me." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She let him fall asleep on her lap, and she called a man and had him shave off 7 locks of his head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God. God, I hope I can preach after that. My stool, hang on here. So I'm glad to see everybody. Friends, I already know that you're not remotely thinking about this sermon time right now. I'm honest, you should be too. Y'all are thinking about Ginger, how she's going to be, how you're going to be able to get to her, have access to her. You're thinking about me a little bit. Appreciate that. God bless you. I thank Pastor Dean for letting me preach this wonderful sermon here on this wonderful topic of 50 Shades of Gray. Oh, I'm sorry, First Shades of Gray. And our DS for being here. Dr. Daniels knows that I love him. Dr. Daniels, you took about 8 minutes, and I'm going to take that time back right now. I'm not shortening my sermon. If I can just have your attention for 38 minutes, we're going to be good. I have some friends here. They don't ever like for me to call them out, so I won't, but they are sitting in the very, very back 2 pews on this side. Thank you all for being here. My friends, we are in a sermon series, Work Your Core, Stories of Strengths and Weakness. Through this series, we're exploring ways that we can strengthen the core of our spiritual being. And we're examining the scripture, and today we are examining the story of Samson and Delilah. Look to your left and look to your right. Keep that person's face in your mind or a sense of their being, and let us pray. God, we give you thanks, and we recognize that today might be the only day that the person to our left and right might be prayed for. And so we thank you for this time, this place, and this space to lift this person up to you. We pray that wherever they are, that your spirit will be infused in theirs, that they will know that they are a beloved child of God, that their life matters, and that they are of worth. We pray now that you would lessen this, your servant, Dawn, and increase your spirit, that I might be able to preach a word with clarity and conviction. It is in Christ's name that we pray, and the people that love the Lord said, amen. This is a rhetorical question. How many of you have read this wonderful piece of literary work? 50 Shades, amen. It has nothing to do with hair styles. It's got everything to do with all kinds of other stuff. Now, according to the most trusted internet source that you can find, Wikipedia, this brilliant piece of writing by E.L. James has sold more than 90 million copies worldwide. It has been translated into some 52 languages, and it set the record for the fastest paperback selling book of all times. Now, in the UK, it's number 2. It's right behind Harry Potter. Harry Potter, 50 Shades. I don't know. It's a tremendous book, I know. Now, let me just say, I have not read this in its entirety, nor have I read the series. You know, it's a trilogy in its entirety, and I want to be honest why. I tend to do most of the reading that I do in the evening time as I am preparing for bed. This is the last thing I want to be coaxing myself to sleep on. You read however you want to read and what you want to read. I'm not reading this late at night. I can't handle it. Lord, I can't handle it. I've spent many days talking to some friends who have read every titillating word. I've looked at blogs, and yes, I've followed the news stories about who was going to play Anastasia and Christian. Now, I am going to go see the movie. I'm going to go see that. I am aware of the various plots that are contained in this piece of literary work, including BDSM. If you don't know what that is, I'm certainly not going to preach about it in here. I'm simply using this as a sermon prop for today. So I got to tell you, before that there were 50 Shades of Gray, there was the first shade of gray contained in this piece of literary work, which we come to know as Holy Bible and the inspired word by God. Honestly, if you really want to get your feathers up, you should read some of the chapters and verses in here. I've been to some people's weddings where they have quoted straight from the Song of Solomon's and watched all the people out there blush. Now, that's the extent of what I know. If you want to know more titillating things, ask Pastor Dean. He's much more experienced than me, much more experienced. My friends, in our exploration of strengths and weaknesses in the Bible, we look at the story of Samson and Delilah as recorded in the book of Judges. This story begins in chapter 13 with a miraculous birth. An angel appeared to a barren woman and announced that she would become pregnant and that her son would be dedicated to God's service. Samson's birth is a bit reminiscent of Jesus and John the Baptist in that the angel of the Lord appeared and announced their pending birth. We know from this that Samson has a call and a claim on his life. Samson's parents consecrated him as a Nazarite. Nazarites were not allowed to drink any alcohol. They were not allowed to touch dead bodies or dead animals. And they were not allowed ever to cut their hair. We know that that is important later in the story. Well, Samson was born during a very challenging time in Israel's history. His call from birth was to take the lead in delivering Israel from oppression. Once again, Israel had landed themselves under the rule of another people. And this was the Philistines this time. So a man of tremendous physical strength, Samson was an enormous leader with great power and influence. God had empowered him with supernatural power. As strong as Samson was, he also had some weaknesses. That's how it is with strong, gifted people. Throughout human history, we could name folk who have great strengths and also have weaknesses that have led to their eventual downfall or demise. Now, I'm not going to take the time to do a roll call, but we can think of athletes and teachers and politicians, business folk, and yes, religious leaders who have fallen into this category. Coupled with his strengths, he had a lot of weaknesses, among which he was simply a womanizer. And I believe he talked too much. We'll find out about that later in the sermon. So the story goes that he became engaged to a Philistine woman. His parents told him, "Samson, son, you need to find somebody in your own kin." Now, anytime a parent tells a kid that, what's going to happen? Samson married the woman. Well, this is just a short version. His bride deceived him. Samson got tangled up in a brawl. He ended up killing 30 people to make good on a bet, and his wife was handed over to his best man that was in his funeral. I mean, his wedding. That did not sit well with Samson. So in retaliation, he had a little bit of a hothead. He set some foxes on fire. He sent them into fields, burning up vineyards and groves near the village. He was subdued and bound. He broke free. He killed 1,000 men. He rested a bit, and then he found himself in the company of, shall we say, a woman in a particular profession. Not making any of this up. Read for yourselves Judges chapter 13, 14, and 15. Now this brings us to the text for today. I like the way that the verse starts that Ben read for us. After this, after all of the stuff that has taken place, after this, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. That's a beautiful name, Delilah. Now, if we were just stop here, the story perhaps could end well. After all, people fall in love, they get married, and it's a beautiful thing. However, we know that when we're balancing our strengths and weaknesses, it doesn't always happen like that. We fall prey to our weakness, and then somehow we are able to regain our strength and get back on track. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way we always want it to be. Recognize we have a strength. We fall prey to it just temporarily. We get back on track, and then we don't ever want it to happen again. If we're honest with ourselves, many of us have experienced it very differently. Such was the reality for Samson. Once again, a beautiful Philistine woman caught his eye, this strong, powerful man who was consecrated for God's service. He had to have her. The fact that he fell in love with her makes it a bit tougher. Philistines' rulers asked Delilah to coax Samson and find out what makes his strength so great. In exchange, each of them were going to give her about 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot now. You know it was a lot more than 2,000-3,000 years ago. She stood to be a very, very wealthy woman. Well, the first and second attempts to get Samson to reveal his source of strength failed. But that third time, that third unfortunate time was a charm. I'll be honest, I'm going to keep it clean, but I did imagine that Delilah put it on him. We get a hint of that in verse 15 where she said, Do you love me? Do you love me? She could have very well just said, if you love me, you would dot, dot, dot. How many of you been in deep love before? You thought everything was going fine until your significant other said those dangerous words. If you love me, you would. Or do you love me? Oftentimes I tell people when I am exploring Holy Scripture, I like to find my place somewhere in it. I had a difficult time with this, Miss Frances, trying to find myself in the sermon, in the scripture. So that's when I use my imagination, and boy, my imagination can get me in trouble. That's why I don't need to read this. I've got all of this up here. Let's look back and think. My imagination said to me, Delilah used some extremely strong seductive power. Maybe she batted her eyes a little bit. Maybe she gave Samson that come hither look. We don't know. We weren't there. What we do know is that she nagged him to death. Let's go back to verse 16 and 17. Finally, after she nagged him, and Ben read this oh so well. Ben is engaged to be married. Get ready, Ben. After she nagged him with her words day after day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. You would be too. Get ready, Courtney. I know Ben. I tend to think that it was a bit more than nagging going on. I think she twerked him. I think she was twerking her little butt off. I really do. Miley Cyrus didn't start that. I think the first twerk happened right in here. I do. I'm keeping it clean. Well, after being pestered and twerked and nagged, he said, I'm paraphrasing now, it's my hair. Just cut off my hair and be quiet, please. So, with that, now this is not my words, this is scripture. He lay down on Delilah's lap and he went to sleep. Now, do you actually think everything was going to be okay when he woke up? Of course not. So Delilah calls the Philistine rulers in. They cut his hair. And then she has him to wake up. We didn't read this part. It was too long, so I'm going to tell you. He woke up. All his strength was gone. And here is what happened. They subdued Samson. They gouged out his eyes. And the judge of Israel, this strong man of God, consecrated to God's service, became an enslaved prisoner. Time passed, but his hair began to grow, and Samson was brought before a festive crowd who celebrated the fact that he was a prisoner. And in his final act, he called on God to restore his strength. And God did. And God, Samson stretched out his arms and he pulled the pillars in of the temple and it crashed, killing all the people in it. The Bible says it was something like 3,000 people, and he killed himself. What an unexpected end to a powerful, influential, strong man consecrated for God's service. I'm going somewhere with that. What are we to learn about strengths and weakness from the Bible story, especially with it ending in homicide and apparent suicide? Some scholars have argued it was just a justified killing. Others have argued that it wasn't a suicide. Rather, it was a great act of war. When one is appointed to lead oppressed people to freedom, it comes with great risk, even the risk of sacrificing one's own life. Now, I'm still wrapping my mind around the ending to Samson's life. The fact that Samson called on God to restore his strength is certainly worth pondering. I believe it was in that moment of weakness, standing in front of the jeering crowd, that Samson actually realized that his strength came from God. It had little to do with those beautiful long seven locks of braided hair. It had everything to do with believing that his strength came from God. He remembered that he was called and claimed by God to help liberate his oppressed people. Whether it was an egregious act or an honorable act, what we do learn later in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, somewhere around verse 32, Samson is listed with all of those other people of faith. And this is the end of that verse. Who won strength out of weakness. So here's what I've come to learn about strengths and weaknesses. Our strengths are only as good as they are when they are used to serve beyond our own good. Our strength can be in litigation, in negotiation. It can be in teaching, in politics, healing, leading, listening, managing, whatever gift you have, whatever strength you have. I believe this, sisters and brothers, it is only as good if it is used to serve somebody else. The good for somebody else or a cause. What I've come to learn about weaknesses, and we have plenty of them, I've learned that the weaknesses we have, many of us do our best to compensate for them until we are no longer able to do so. We compensate, compensate, and compensate, and then we can't do it anymore. And at that time, if our weaknesses go unbalanced, then we are likely to experience what may seem like an insurmountable challenge. Let me say this last word about strengths and weaknesses. Our strength can also become our weakness. Power and influence can be a great strength, and at the same time, it could be a weakness as well. I believe this was the case for Delilah. Delilah was an excellent negotiator. She was a good coaxer. She just used it for somebody else's demise. Samson's weakness led him to a path of destruction. Some people want to blame Delilah on Samson's demise. After all, she tricked him, she seduced him, and she deceived him. After all, Samson had no choice. He was just being a guy. That's ridiculous. And I know, hopefully offensive to some people out there. That's just a guy, please. Some people blame Samson because he chose to give into his own weakness that caused his downfall. I don't care who is to blame here. There's enough of that to go around. Easy is easy. One of the easiest things that we can do is blame somebody else for our weakness, for our inability to do something. That's easy to do. I'm more concerned about focusing on exploring and examining these biblical stories and narratives and realizing how God used Samson and how God even used Delilah in spite of their weakness for the good of enhancing, empowering, engaging, and liberating. This is the God that we serve. The God that can take all of our weaknesses and turn them around for something good if we but allow it. So here is the good news. Throughout human history, God has resurrected, reconciled, restored, and redeemed. If we want to really work our core, let's focus on balancing our strengths and our weaknesses, and then let's trust God to do the rest.